Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Romans chapter 8, we've been looking at the Apostle Paul's description of the unbeliever in contrast with that of the believer, all answering the question, how do I know that there is no condemnation for me? Because you know that's that clause there, to those who are in Christ Jesus. And some very sincere Christians might say, but how do I really know, Paul? And Paul is here outlining these two different kinds of lives. And you know that the last few days, he has shown to us the heart and the life of the unbeliever. For those, he says in verse 5, who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So number one, their minds are given over, right? Their minds are set on the sinful nature. So whatever the mind directs of the sinful nature, whatever lusts spur up in them, that is what they follow. So that's number one. And then he goes on in verse 6 to say, for to be carnally minded is death. So they're spiritually dead. They're not saying that they're going to die. Well, of course, they are going to die ultimately. But right now, they're spiritually dead. Well, today he moves on to the third characteristic, and that's what we pick up with in verse 7. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. How do we characterize that? Simply put, the unbeliever is driven by lawlessness. Now, if we were to put that in contrast to the child of God, in verse 22, what does the child of God say? Well, he delights in the law of God according to the inward man. Paul, remember, said, I have this profound love for the law of God. But what was the law doing? Well, the law, he said in chapter 7, was exposing sin. That's why God gave the law. And that's where the battle lies for the Christian. The law exposes sin, and that is painful because you really do love the Lord your God. And his law, since it is a reflection of his holiness, you desire to keep, but as that warfare goes on and you see your sin, it stings. And you begin to question. The difference with the Christian is not that he continues in sin so that grace may abound. The difference for the Christian is that he gets up and he goes to the feet of Christ. But now let's take the unbeliever. The law is also exposing his life. But what is the problem? His fleshly sinful mind, number one, we looked at in verse 5, is at enmity with God. That simply means his whole sinful mind is hostile to God. And so having his mind controlled by the sinful nature and having no spiritual life whatsoever, verse 6, what happens when he hears God's truth about his life through the law as it exposes his sin? Well, what did Jesus say in John 3? Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So what happens to his life? Does he subject himself to the law of God? Absolutely not. He does anything and everything to hide his life. As the life then is controlled and driven through the mind and bent toward the cravings of the sinful flesh, which produces nothing but lawlessness. Now here's what happens. Stay focused today. This is so important that you get this. This is so important for our day. Mankind, we all say, is incurably religious. Oh, sure, there are people today claiming to be atheists. But go see the movie, No Intelligence Allowed. I mean, there really is no true atheist. All of mankind is incurably religious. They're going to worship something. And yet, he has a mind hostile to the true God, will not subject himself to the law of God. What kind of religion do people construct then? You tell me. You know, a religion that allows them to be religious and not subject their lives to God's law. In other words, as you come as you are religion, right? We don't judge. We don't call you to holiness. We don't press your life. You can be comfortable. Just come as you are. Do we see that in our land? One pastor said, we have seen the growth of an a la carte religion. A people putting together a religion of all the pieces they like and removing everything they don't like. What won't they like, my friends? You tell me, what do people hiding their lives, what don't they want to hear about? What do they want to run from? What are they going to complain about? Anything that demands submission to God. Anything that demands a forsaking of the self. And that's exactly what's happened in Christianity. The Christianity of our land is practically antinomian. What we mean by that is anti-law. We've constructed a religion in this land that keeps us from God. And I hope everyone's hearing that today. People in churches all over Whatcom County are hearing this. We've constructed a religion in this land called Christian that keeps us from God. What do I mean? Well, the result is that churches now have no church membership, no accountability, no law, no lifestyle change. They have the best of both worlds, right? The church and their sin. And their lingo, so typical, compassion, understanding, tolerance. In other words, let me summarize it with this word, compromise. Do they ever want to be confronted with God's law about their sin? They hide, my friends. They run to places where they don't have to have their lives accountable. Constructing a religion that keeps them from the God of the Bible while they continue in their rebellious lifestyle and delude themselves that they are Christians. How real is this problem? All of this, Paul says, feeds the cravings of the sinful flesh. And so he adds one more thing. So we've looked at three. He adds one more in verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He will soon say, what is not of faith is sin. There's nothing the unbeliever can or ever do that can please God. There it is, very clearly. God has just shown us in no uncertain terms what the unbelieving life looks like. Those who are presently under the condemnation of God, they have a darkened mind, they are spiritually dead, they are driven by sinful desires, and nothing they do pleases God. That characterizes the unbelieving life. Now, Paul has drawn extensively this great contrast because he knows that Christians are in this great struggle against their own sin. And what happens? They often wonder. Because they do the things that they hate, they question, am I really a Christian? And Paul wants us to see very clearly how radically these two types of people are. So he says two things about the Christian that distinguishes really clearly who the true believer is, of whom there really is no condemnation. This is what he says in verse 5. As if the non-Christian lives according to the sinful nature and sets his mind on the things of that nature, what does the Christian do? Well, he says in verse 5, first, the Christian lives according to the Spirit and sets his mind on the things of the Spirit. What he is simply saying is this, those who are living according to the Spirit have submitted themselves to his will, living what he loves. And desiring to honor what is dear to him. Notice the difference. They're not living for themselves, but for someone else. What he's essentially saying is that the Christian is spiritually alive. You know, this is why Jesus absolutely unequivocally spoke of the necessity for the new birth. When he said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. How important such a statement was that? What he was saying was, unless I plant in your heart, Nicodemus, new life, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. A dead heart has to be given life. So do you hear what he's saying? I could preach Christ till I'm blue in the face to you. I could rant and rave about sin and condemnation. But until the Spirit chooses to change the heart, to implant new life in it, nothing happens. All that you're going to have is a religion of just holding to the facts, getting down the right doctrine. But it's more than being in a right church. It's more than a moral life. It's the absolute necessity of being delivered from the power of darkness. Notice that. Power of darkness and being conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Who does that? The Holy Spirit. He takes that dead heart and regenerates it so that his whole affections and whole desires change. As the sinner heartily embraces Christ and loves the things of Christ, without this, you will never know. You will never know the kind of changed life the Bible describes. All you can do is just get religious. Mere outward empty religion, mere formality, mere formalism, mere morality. Paul is saying, look, when the Spirit makes alive, his whole life becomes spiritually minded. He hates going in the way of sin, not out of fear of condemnation or punishment or wrong motives, but he doesn't want to do those things anymore because he loves his Lord and they are an offense to him. And he has a burning desire to do the things that the Spirit desires. His whole orientation now is no longer controlled by the sinful passions of controlling his own life. But what happens? He says his whole life becomes spiritually minded. And that's why the struggle against his sin, Romans 7, is so great. Because what has happened to his mind, it has been enlightened. And he has been uprooted from himself. And now desires the things of Christ. And so his life, the Christian's life, is different. Before his mind was darkened, before he could not listen to the Lord, before he was driven by the sinful lusts and nature, but now he's heard the call of Philippians. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. That is the Christian's life.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.